beyond Russia's borders, how are things looking for Putin? Because Russia's obviously got many interests abroad. For years, it was propping up Assad in Syria. It's been helping out Iran, meddling in Armenia, the recent elections there. How would you assess what's happened to his global influence recently?
Their resources, both political and economic, have been so focused on Ukraine that they've sort of had to sacrifice their influence elsewhere. Russia was dealt a very sensitive blow in Syria, where Assad, a longtime ally, was overthrown, and Russia wasn't really able to do anything about it. Mm. Russia has tried to prop up candidates, pro-Russia candidates in Moldova, where they lost. Most recently in Hungary, obviously, Viktor Orban, a big ally of Putin, he lost. Mm. Cuba is being squeezed by the Trump administration. I'm now in Armenia, where there were elections on Sunday, and a pro-Western candidate won. Well, among the losses, I think Putin will be watching the Iran war with a lot of satisfaction. I think the Iran war has shown the weakness of the U.S. Putin is said to be secretly supplying Iran with weapons. Obviously, the Iran war has led to a spike in oil prices. So I think, even though overall the picture isn't looking that good for him, internationally, the Iran war is this one sort of bright spot in Kremlin's perspective, where actually a key ally seems to be coming out stronger out of it.
And finally, you've set out really convincingly how the mood in Russia is turning against Putin. But realistically, is there anyone or anything that is in a position to topple him or persuade him to step down after 26 years with that little break in the middle on the throne?
Yeah, I think most analysts and observers agree that if there's going to be change, the change will come from the top, so from the elites. At this moment, we've seen no indication that Putin is willing to change course because of pressure at home. Mm. He told one of his economic advisors who warned him that, spending more on the war would be a bad idea. He said, well, then we should cut another sectors, whether it's education or healthcare. So for the long term, this is obviously disastrous for Russia. Mm. But Putin believes, and he's probably right, that for the next year or two, he can still spend on the war, but it will, he will have to cut in other sectors. One of the more shocking sort of reports in recent weeks was cited by some media. It was a Western intelligence report, unnamed officials, who said that potentially Putin's former defense minister, Sergei Shoigu, could lead a coup against Putin. Everyone I talk to finds that proposition highly unlikely. Those who know Shoigu told me he's isolated, he's not very popular in the army, and he's not really a likely candidate. But, again, Russia can still surprise you. 3 years ago, there was a march in Moscow by Yevgeny Prigozhin, this sort of Wagner mercenary leader who, came close to Moscow and it was eventually stopped. But I think for any coup to happen, I think we first need to see Putin weakened, both physically, potentially, and also mentally. And right now he still, looks in control. Right now we are sort of seems to be in a stage of acceptance rather than sort of active coup planning. So, I think the West can get their hopes up that there's sort of a coup happening at any moment.
Pyotr, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Pyotr Sauer. I really recommend the long read that he did on Putin's drop in popularity. He wrote it along with Sean Walker, another Stay in Focus favourite. It's headlined, "There is profound disappointment in him. Mood in Russia turns against Putin." You can find it at theguardian.com. And that is all for today. This episode was produced by Guy Zaffman and Casey McGlaw and presented by me, Helen Pitt. Sound design was by Rudy Zagadlo, and the executive producer was Sammy Kent.